I do not feel as bad as I sound. Just to let you know, a couple of weeks battling these crazy sinuses, but I'm not the only one. So say a prayer for those of us that are trying to fight through this craziness of the weather and get this cleared up. So meanwhile, I'm feeling pretty good. I said this morning, by the way, if anybody knows of any good used head somewhere, I'll take one, you know. A little public service announcement. Don't do this very often, but this week, the reading, there's so much in the reading that could be taken out of it. But I want to encourage you, those of you who have been there and those that have not, to go to the website called Word on Fire. Word on Fire. It is Bishop Barron's website. He has a homily on today's section on Jeremiah. And it is worth the time to go to the website, find the homily for today. It's pretty easy to get to, and listen to what he has to say out of the book of Jeremiah today. He has a beautiful reference, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's in reference to the Eucharist and the Eucharistic prayer that connects in with Jeremiah. So go there. I encourage you to today or this week and listen to what the bishop has to say. I'm almost guaranteeing your heart will be touched just as much as mine was. It's interesting in the gospel, the introduction of the Greeks that were in Jerusalem, and they're wanting to see Jesus. And they go to Philip, and then Philip goes to Andrew, and then Philip and Andrew then go to Jesus and tell him that the Greeks want to see him. It was not just a see him kind of thing out of curiosity, you know? Sometimes it's like people with fire engines, like my dad, you know, my dad was a fireman. You know, you want to follow the fire truckers out of curiosity, or you want to see something. So you go just to observe. The Greeks were not that way. The Greeks really wanted to see him. They were aware of who he was. And let it be in your heart, like the Greek, that you continue to come to know Jesus Christ. Not about him so much, but who he is and what he can mean to your life. So the Greeks are significant today, this morning, wanted to see him. His response is interesting. If you notice, his father said in the opening, you know, we're turning now, and we have everything covered, and makes me kind of, I already missed not seeing the crucifix, it's covered. So my heart is there to want to see it again, you know, you take it for granted. And we need, you know, about seeing Jesus, and, excuse me, his response makes this turn, because here we are coming into Passover week. Here we are coming to his death. And so he takes this moment to talk about his life and what's coming. And he proclaims that the hour of the Son of Man has now come. If you remember in Canaan at the wedding feast, he told them, my hour is not here yet. Guess what? It's here now. The time has come for the Son of Man. Then he responds to that and he says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Powerful statement being made. And it's because of his willingness and obedience, tough word, obedience to the Father's will that Jesus willingly gave himself. And like that grain of wheat, he fell and died. But you know what? So much has been produced from that wheat. You and I are an example of that. We're here today because of it. And we have the blessing of eternal life. Not even so much the eternal life, but you know what's incredible for me is that I can have a relationship with my Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ. And it's because of his obedience. That was one of the important parts of his life. The writer in Hebrews makes an interesting statement today. There's a lot there. Go look and read some more. But he makes reference to Jesus' flesh, his humanity. His humanity is being mentioned today, and we're noticing that in the Hebrews and also in the Gospel. And it is so vital about who he is and that we understand. Yes, he's fully divine, no question. But also what is incredible for each and every one of us, he is fully human. Why is that significant, Deacon? Because in his humanness, he experiences what we do. Which makes it such a powerful thing for us to be able to pray, realizing that the one that we're praying to has experienced what we do. He understands. Get that in your heart today. It's vital for us. He prayed. He cried out to God. He wept. He suffered. Go through the Gospels and you'll find all kinds of things that Jesus experienced in his humanness. That's important because he realizes and understands because he did that. But the most wonderful thing is that he obeyed and followed the Father's will. He relinquished his will. There's that word again that we've been pumping through Lent and in the small meeting group. And that relinquishment in Gethsemane, he relinquished his will and he said, okay, it's not my will, it's yours. And he gave himself over in obedience. Obedience is not always easy. But you know what? In doing so, he understands when we weep or we suffer or in our times in our lives when we cry out to God. Like Jesus, we need to place our will aside and relinquish ourselves so that we can place our worries and our anxiety if we want to help others. We need to set ourselves aside to be able to give in the sharing of our time. Oh, I can't, it's so difficult sometimes when we tie ourselves up with so many things to be able to break away and help and serve others. But when we relinquish ourselves and we give ourselves over and those things to him, then that allows us to see and help one another in the sharing of our time. So important. We need to place ourselves and relinquish ourselves so we can listen attentively to others without being distracted by all kinds of other things in the back of our minds that we got to do. People need to be heard. We need to listen and hear what people have to share, especially when we get distracted. We need to relieve ourselves and so that we can share our gifts and our talent and our time. Because that's in part is what we're called to do, to reach out to one another. It can be so difficult when we're full of worry and anxiety and the need kind of overwhelm us. That's why it was presented almost 5 weeks ago now, it has been, when Father presented to us this idea of this relinquishment. And it's something that we practice and work on so that we can learn to do it, so our lives will become fruitful for God and his Spirit. We need to practice it so we can allow the Holy Spirit to work in each and every one of us. He shared 4 steps that morning, that weekend on us, about relinquishment. And I want to cover those 4 again very briefly, just to kind of remind us what was shared. Step 1, we need to learn to admit to God what we fear most might happen. We need to let him know. Step 2, sometimes this is so difficult. We need to place the situation in God's hands. There's an interesting statement in the second reading, you know, that he learned obedience through suffering. He learned obedience through suffering. And in the midst of your suffering today, I challenge you just to open up and help the Father be part of it and have him work with you. Have him say, please show me what I need to learn and what I can learn through this moment of suffering. Step 3, tell God I will accept whatever he allows to happen. Is it easy sometimes? No. Step 4, acknowledge that God's ways are always better than ours. It is in our action towards others that we might help them see Jesus. That's what we need to do, help others to want to see Jesus and desire to know him like the Greeks did in the scriptures today and what they were doing in the gospel. And if you're having difficulty, that psalm today has been ringing in my heart ever since I read it a couple weeks ago. You know, maybe to remember, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. And he will, if we ask him. You know what? If you haven't started the 4 steps or started working on relinquishment or got involved with Lent, guess what? There's still time.